The oil crisis of the 1970s gave birth to heightened interest in alternative forms of energy. The government added incentives to develop and install solar power, geothermal energy, and wind power. Many of those incentives have faded as oil and natural gas have been plentiful. But concerns about climate change have revived interest in renewables, and some government units are noticing. Eau Claire City Council in March became the first city in Wisconsin to approve a sustainability plan that pledges carbon neutrality by 2050. Others have followed suit, including La Crosse. And there's a forum this afternoon in Menominee by organizers hoping to get a similar resolution passed by that city. But how realistic is such a goal, or is it even a good idea? We'll explore those questions as we talk about the state of energy in western Wisconsin today on the West Side. Good morning. Good to have you with us. I'm Dean Kallenbach, and we are joined today by Aaron Monroe Nye. Aaron Monroe Nye is the program director of Focus on Energy. It's a statewide energy efficiency and renewable energy program for a number of Wisconsin electric and natural gas utilities. Aaron Monroe Nye, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Also joined today by Brian Elwood. He is the general manager for customer and community service for XL Energy. XL Energy provides electricity to 250,000 customers in western Wisconsin. Brian Elwood, thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you.
Kate Beaton is a member of the Eau Claire City Council and the Western organizer for the organization Wisconsin Conservation Voters. Kate Beaton, good to have you along.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be joined a little later in the program as well by Andrew Worthman, also of the Eau Claire City Council. It promises to be an interesting conversation, but it will be better if you join us. As always, you're welcome to call in with your questions, comments, concerns, or stories at 800-228-5615. So let's begin by defining some terms. Aaron Monroe Tai, what does it mean to be carbon neutral?
Well, whenever we use different forms of energy, there's a fuel, typically how we've done it, there's a fuel that's been burned, whether it's natural gas or coal. There are some other fuels that aren't that don't burn necessarily a carbon source, such as nuclear and renewable energy, which uses either the sun or the wind, or in some cases it actually uses heat from the ground, from the earth. And those sources don't put carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, and that's kind of the difference there. So when we talk about carbon neutral, we're talking about either buildings that are using, you know, very little energy, and the energy that they're using is very clean. It's not using a polluting source.
So, Kate Beaton, is the term renewable energy interchangeable with carbon neutral?
So renewable energy is a, a form of energy that's created, for example, by wind or by solar. It's a type of energy that's not using fossil fuels and doesn't emit carbon. It doesn't emit dangerous chemicals into our air, and it doesn't create chemicals that are contributing to climate change.
So, so that third element, that's what takes, because one popular fuel that we use for heating homes, for instance, mm-hmm. is wood.
Yep, exactly.
Which is renewable, certainly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I suppose that...
But not carbon neutral.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Brian Elwood, in what ways do I, as an average person living in western Wisconsin, cause carbon emissions?
Well, maybe I can just start and just talk about what the utility industries are doing as well when we talk about carbon, because there's a difference when we talk about carbon-free. And so Xcel Energy was the first large utility in the country to have an aspirational goal to have 100% carbon-free energy by 2050. The interesting thing here about in northwestern Wisconsin, we long have a history of renewable energy. So when we talk about renewable energy in this area, we've long had that. We've got 19 hydroelectric plants scattered throughout northwestern Wisconsin. We've got a biomass plant up in northern Wisconsin, also a biomass plant in La Crosse. So renewable energy is nothing new for our customers and communities in northwestern Wisconsin, but we're going forward on this path to even expand that throughout the upper Midwest. So by 2030, we will have closed all of our coal-burning plants in the upper Midwest. By that time, we will have reduced our carbon emissions by 80% from 2005 levels. So when we think about customers and communities, partnering with them on their carbon action plans and their climate action plans is really the best thing we can do as a utility to help them reach those goals.
For many of us, our encounter with Focus on Energy, Aaron Monroe and I, involves getting those cool free packs of stuff that help us with the energy efficiency in our home. Is the main focus of Focus on Energy reducing waste from the carbon-based fuels we already use?
Yeah, that's a great point. So yes, we do have a number of different programs. You've listed one of our most popular ones, which is the Simple Energy Efficiency Kit program. You can go online and you can choose from a series of packs of energy efficiency measures you can install in your home, and that's shipped to your home for free. I would say, you know, energy efficiency is the cheapest source of energy that there is. It's, you know, far cheaper to just not use electricity than to have to generate it or gas. And so it's very cost effective for customers. If you can buy a new piece of equipment and it reduces your energy use, it's going to reduce your bills. And so a lot of times these are really economically beneficial for the customer as well. We do, the primary focus of the program is on efficiency. We do have programs for renewable energy as well. Primarily what we see coming through our program right now is solar PV, photovoltaic. And it is, we've seen massive growth in that area over the last few years. We also offer incentives for ground source heat pumps and as well they're wind and biomass and things like that as well. But typically what we see is PV coming through our program.
Kate Beaton, if carbon neutrality is such an important goal, is it sort of counterproductive to focus also on improving efficiency of our use of fossil fuels?
Well, I think that what we're trying to do is focus on both. we understand that to reach a transition to a carbon-free society, we're going to have to cut our carbon emissions, cut our energy usage by 50%. And so what we're doing here in the city of Eau Claire, and certainly what my organization is trying to empower other communities to do, is to both look for ways to cut energy usage, like what Aaron was talking about, but also look for ways to work with energy utilities and find revenue sources to invest in clean energy as well. We're going to have to do both.
Our guests right now are Kate Beaton. That's the voice you just heard. She's with the Wisconsin Conservation Voters, also a member of the Eau Claire City Council. Also on the show with us today, Brian Elwood from XL Energy and Aaron Monroe Nye from the Focus on Energy organization. And your opportunity to join us, 800-228-5615. Love to hear from you. Give us a call, 800-228-5615, and we'll get to the phones in a few minutes. In March, the Eau Claire City Council became the second Wisconsin city, Madison was first, to endorse using 100% renewable energy by 2050. So, Kate Beaton, with all the important day-to-day activities that you have to oversee as a member of the city council, why focus on something that's so distant in the future?
I think that 100% renewable energy, that's a big goal. It's one that we've set for our city organization, the operations of our city buildings and our buses and police fleet. But it also is a goal that we've set for the entire community. And so we've given ourselves 30 years to achieve a quite hefty goal, and I think that we'll need those 30 years. But I think that at the root of it, we want to be looking at what our responsibility is to address climate change, which is happening now. That's not something that's going to happen in 2050 or 100 years from now. It's happening right now in how we're seeing our communities be flooded in Wisconsin and how we're seeing Americans being displaced in coastal communities. And so we're looking, I think that we're investing in this long-term goal because these effects are happening to us right now.
Now, we mentioned that Eau Claire was the second city to pass a resolution to be carbon neutral by 2050, but it was actually the first city to approve a sustainability plan to get there. What does that look like?
Yeah, so we're still currently working on our climate clean energy action plan. We have been working for the last 9 months or so on our clean energy action plan. It's been a collaboration between Xcel Energy and their Partners in Energy program, which I'm sure we'll hear more about. It's been a community effort to create this plan. We've had 50 or 60 community partners, ranging from, you know, the energy utilities, from local officials and city officials to the labor force and to organizations that are representing vulnerable communities. And so we're looking at ways to integrate carbon-free energy and also energy reduction in everything that we do as a city and as a community, how we can facilitate that in the private sector. And so that plan is going to be coming out in the next few months, we hope. And so there's certainly more to come there.
She mentioned Xcel mm-hmm. Energy, of course, is the electricity provider for the city of Eau Claire and most of western Wisconsin. But Brian Elwood, does this sort of political action have any actual effect on plans by Xcel regarding the energy build-out over the next 30 years?
Yeah, certainly. We spend a lot of time talking to our customers and communities, and it's important to understand what their wants and their aspirations are. And certainly we've aligned our plans to what we've heard from our customers and communities, and that's critically important to us. But we also know that we can do it both affordably and reliably, and those are our two kind of guideposts when we look at planning our system going forward to maintain that affordability and maintain that reliability. And we know that we can do it. So we know that we have the technologies available and the plans in place right now to get us to that 80% carbon reduction by 2030. Between 2030 and 2050, we know that we'll need some sort of technology to assist us to get us to that 2030 carbon goal. But it's something our communities want. It's something our customers want. And if we can maintain both affordability and reliability, we're looking forward to partnering with them on those plans going forward.
Is that gap technology, does that have to do with storage? Because I know, you know, back in the day mm-hmm. when the renewables were first being talked about as an alternative, that was always the problem. How do you store energy that's collected from solar panels, for instance, mm-hmm. so that you can use it overnight?
Yep. Yeah, certainly dispatchable renewable generation is important. We don't know what that technology will be. We're kind of technology agnostic. We've seen the pace of technology increase over the past 10 to 15 years. Just 10 years ago, wind was about $65 a megawatt hour. Now it's about $20 a megawatt hour. Solar's declined by about two-thirds in cost over that same amount of time. So the way we know technology with renewables is improving, but we know that technology will continue to improve in the future, and we're looking on that or looking at different technologies to help us reach that goal of carbon-free by 2050.
Now, Aaron Monroe and I focus on energy as a partnership of more than 100 electric and gas utilities throughout the state. Where do your partners stand when it comes to this push for carbon neutrality?
I think a lot of our utilities are actually really responding to customer demands and trying to think long-term about the impacts of climate change. And a number of our utilities, Xcel is definitely a leader in that area, but there are a number of utilities that have similar plans for reducing carbon. Everyone seems to have, you know, 2050 in mind. So I think there's a lot of movement in the utility sector. I think that everyone kind of recognizes that sort of business as usual isn't going to work anymore. So we work very closely with our utility partners on these plans and ideas as well. So, but I think the utilities, they're there already.
And I could add, you know, we think a lot about on the City Council and here in Eau Claire why we set these goals and what messages we're sending to the community. You know, I truly believe that these municipal goals that are being looked at and being set in Eau Claire and across the state and across the country are sending messages to our utility, and it's so heartening to see Xcel kind of respond to that and validate that. But I think that those goals are also sending a message to our legislatures, the state legislature and also the federal legislature. You know, here in Eau Claire, we can do a lot, but we can't do it alone, and we need those higher levels of government to affirm that and to do their part as well. And so that's been an overarching goal of ours here in Eau Claire, both to do our part locally, but to send the messages that we're hearing in the community up to the utility and to the legislature.
we've seen surges in the interest in renewable energy through the years, especially when the cost of oil or natural gas goes up. But when supplies of those fuels are plentiful and prices are low, and they are relatively low right now, there's less financial incentive, at least for an individual, to try renewables or to prioritize efficiency. Aaron Monroe Nye, how does focus on energy incentivize individual changes in behavior when it comes to energy use?
Yeah, that's a great question. There are a lot of ways that we can influence behavior. For example, we do a lot of programs that offer financial incentives and free products. That's kind of helping people get over those that initial first cost and kind of that economic decision that you were just talking about. But in addition to that, we do a lot of training, trying to help, you know, get the word out so that there is the infrastructure to be able to support these projects as well, so that contractors understand kind of the latest and greatest technology and how they can work with the program. We work really closely with a lot of, we call them trade allies, which would be electrical and HVAC contractors, kind of helping to keep them up to date and providing them with information. And just there are a lot of different ways that you can work with people to kind of help them understand. Understanding is part of it, but then also changing their behavior as well.
Yeah, and I'd just add to that as well. You know, utilities are doing a lot to make programs available to customers who want to integrate more renewables into their homes or businesses. At Xcel Energy, we benefit from that. We have the Wisconsin's largest community solar garden program. We have 3 1-megawatt community gardens located throughout Wisconsin, one in Ashland, one right here in Eau Claire, and one down in Cashin, where customers can actually purchase into that community garden. So perhaps they don't have the resources to invest in solar on their home or don't have the space that's needed for that. They can invest in these community gardens and benefit from the economies of scale from there. We've also got a program called Renewable Connect, which is a blend of solar and renewable. So customers can also subscribe to that and add a little bit more renewable to their home energy mix or their business energy mix for a little increased cost as well. So we're trying to find different ways that we can offer those programs and services to customers to make renewables more accessible for them and make it more easy for them to use.
We're talking renewable energy and efforts to go carbon neutral by 2050 here on the West Side. Our guest, Erin Monroe Nye, has been with us from Focus on Energy, and she has to drop off, but we do thank you for your contributions to the program today.
Thank you for having me.
Also joining us for this the remainder of the hour and continuing with us for the remainder of the hour are Kate Beaton. She's the Western Organizer for Wisconsin Conservation Voters, also a member of the Eau Claire City Council, and Brian Elwood, the General Manager for Community Service at Xcel Energy. You can join in the conversation. What do you expect from government when it comes to renewable energy? Are you doing anything to reduce your carbon footprint? Join the conversation at 800-228-5615. I'm Dean Kallenbeck, and this is The West Side on the Ideas Network. We're back talking about renewable energy and efforts to go carbon neutral by 2050. We continue with our guest, Kate Beaton of the Wisconsin Conservation Voters, and Brian Elwood of Xcel Energy. And we're joined in the studio by another member of the Eau Claire City Council, Andrew Werthmann. Andrew Werthmann, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Dean, for having me.
So I want to shift back to some conversations we were having earlier and remind people, by the way, they can join the conversation at 800-228-5615, 800-228-5615. Kate Beaton, as the Wisconsin Conservation Voters push for this carbon neutrality by 2050, do you think the support of such efforts will wane as people understand they may end up spending more on their own energy or paying higher taxes to get there?
Well, I think that at the end of the day, we're going to see, especially as the technology progress, that clean energy is going to become more and more affordable and surpass the affordability of fossil fuels. There was actually a 2018 poll, a national poll, that showed 75% of Americans want to see their energy utility using more renewable energy. And so that's not a partisan thing. It's something that Americans want to see. They know that that they see the trends of how clean energy is progressing in its affordability. And so I don't think that support will wane. I think that that support will only increase as they see these first communities saving money and getting a return on the investment that they initially put in.
Now, Andrew Werthmann, you as a city council member in Eau Claire were in favor of this this push and this vote that was taken in March and these efforts to move toward carbon neutrality by 2050. Are you getting any pushback from constituents who say, hey, that's going to mean higher taxes?
You know, I think one of the things that we've seen is that people across our community are really interested in how energy is going to look in the next 20, 30, and 40 years. And, you know, I'll just point out that one of the things that we've really had to take into consideration is the fact that not changing our energy consumption and our energy sources has its own cost. And, you know, whether it's $300 billion of flooding damage that have happened in our country, just $2 billion in Iowa this year, what it means to our small business communities if they're flooded, the closure of our waterways or, you know, what it does to the drinkability of our water. These are the sort of costs that we're mindful of as climate becomes a bigger issue. My dad's a farmer, and so many farmers are hurting right now because of weather patterns and a cold spring. You know, these are the other costs of not doing anything. And so I think what we're seeing is people understand that the technology is advancing in a quick enough pace that it can really make a difference. And then if we don't act, it's actually going to be much, much more costly to us in the long run as we're facing fires and floods and all of those kinds of things.
As we talk about affordability, Brian Elwood, some of us are old enough to remember the ads of your predecessor organization, Northern States Power Company, and their jingle saying electricity is penny cheap with NSP. I won't sing it. It's a catchy tune, though. I can still remember it. But with Xcel's express goal toward carbon neutrality, and I mean, it's an express goal. If you open the Xcel website, that's front and center, aiming for to be carbon neutral by 2050. Is it something your ratepayers have bought into, or are you trying to bring the ratepayers along?
Well, what I'd say is affordability is critically important to us. As I outlined before, our guideposts are really reliability and affordability and developing an energy system that our customers and communities want. And, you know, I'm proud to say that we've been able to do that with affordability in mind. In fact, you know, if we look at our rates today for Xcel Energy Wisconsin customers, they're below the national average, which is really good news. And 56% of their energy comes from carbon-free sources. So as we look, we're already making that transition. In fact, we've announced that our rates are going to remain flat through 2021. So we're able to make these investments in our system. We're able to keep bills below the national average, and we're able to reduce carbon as well.
You're listening to The West Side. I'm Dean Kallenbach. We're talking about renewable energy and efforts to be carbon neutral in our communities by the year 2050. We invite you to join the conversation at 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. And we're joined now by Vern from Boyd. Vern, welcome to The West Side.
Good morning. Thanks for letting me on. Can I say just one thing?
Sure.
Before we start this, on Saturday night, somebody grabbed up their pickup truck and ran over my son's dog. She was his best friend.
Well, I'm sorry.
And Trump comes out and says, this guy was killed, died like a dog.
Oh.
I don't like those kind of comments.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's a really tragic loss. I don't feel really good about today.
No.
But let's have a reality check on energy. The number one global climate change, as they call it, or climate thing, is aircraft. That's number one. It's the water vapor that they emit. The contrails, they create these cirrus clouds, and the effect of these cirrus clouds has been greater than all the CO2 released by all the aircraft flown since the Wright brothers. This is not covered. Methane is not covered. Everything is put in terms of CO2. And as we're in a petri dish, as the population increases, the pollution increases. There is no solution to this problem. And had we built the liquid metal-cooled reactor in 1951 and continued its operation instead of building the water-cooled reactors, we wouldn't have millions of tons of nuclear waste. And as you use less electricity, you pay more for electricity, but they are guaranteed a 10% or so in return on their investment, these electric companies are.
Vern, thank you for your comments. Okay. Very sorry about your son's dog, but let me move. Andrew Werthmann, you wanted to get in on that.
Yeah, and Vern, thank you for your call. And again, you know, sorry about the dog. I you know, one of the things that I think is really inspiring is the fact that actually the U.S. military has a huge program on looking at clean energy in the military and how it helps them be more resilient. That's something that they've been working on for more than a decade now. And actually, biofuels in fighter jets is actually something that they've made a huge progression on. And so I think, you know, we're a country that has the ingenuity and the ability to sort of figure our way through this problem. I really believe that. And the U.S. military is actually one of the leaders in our country in terms of showing what can be done, whether it's on the battlefield or here at home, to actually advance this issue. And so, you know, I think there's going to be a way to figure out how we get there, but we're going to have to be creative.
Brian Elwood, Vern mentioned contrails, water vapor from, from aircraft, and methane, which are, you know, two things that, you know, there is certainly some evidence out there that particularly methane, it's fairly well accepted that that's a cause of climate change or a trigger toward climate change. Is that something your company can do much about, or are you taking any leadership role in those areas?
Yeah, we're looking at all sources, you know, as our business impacts carbon emissions. And what I would say is that, you know, certainly electricity generation has been a primary focus that we've been talking to our customers and communities about, and we've been seeing dramatic gains in that regard. And so on this path, we're looking at all other sources of carbon emitting. And part of that, too, just recently, you know, electric generation used to always be the largest emitter of carbon, but now transportation is the largest emitter of carbon. So how can we work with our customers and communities to help electrify the transportation sector? If we're able to do that and reduce carbon from the transportation sector, that can have benefits for everyone.
Vern made the point, and there's some, you know, economic logic to the fact that if you're providing less energy, the rates will go up because the service has to maintain itself. Is that, you know, is he wrong?
Well, we always encourage conservation. Conservation is easily the best way to save on a customer's energy bill. And customers, by saving energy, make sure that we don't have to produce as much energy in return. So we encourage conservation. It's important to partner with organizations like Focus on Energy. Conservation is still the primary way that customers can see lower energy bills.
But you do make your money by selling energy. So if you're selling less energy, how do you make your money?
A portion of that, as well as investments in our system as well.
Okay. As the Wisconsin Conservation Voters Organization tries to get other cities and municipalities to pledge to be carbon neutral by 2050, one practical application cities have to consider is retrofitting existing buildings which weren't designed for renewables. Kate Beaton, how much does that factor, do you think, into communities who aren't quite ready to take up the mantle of such a pledge?
Yeah, what we're trying to do is encourage communities to get a start on this issue in ways that is going to fit their community the best. You know, when we're just starting to talk about retrofitting buildings, that is certainly a tall task and something that can be kind of scary to communities. But in our 30-year goal, we're asking communities to right now look at how they can invest in a hybrid bus, how they can invest in more biking trails and pedestrian infrastructure to reduce transportation, fossil fuel emitting transportation. How they can work with the energy utility to build a solar community garden, like Brian was talking about. And so, you know, we understand that we can't see the full roadmap, that we can't see the finish line, and it might be hard for communities to see how they can get to a place where they can invest in retrofitting their buildings. But we want to ensure communities that's no reason not to start, that there's a lot that we can do now and put faith in our ingenuity locally and globally as these technologies progress, that, you know, when we need to and as we get closer to that end goal, that we'll be able to make it there.
800-228-5615 is the number you can call to join our conversation about renewable energy in western Wisconsin. Brian Elwood, one form of government we haven't talked about yet is the public school district. And schools, by definition, are heavily invested in buildings with significant are significant consumers of energy. In your experience with Xcel Energy, what trends are you seeing in local schools toward trying to move toward a more carbon neutral footprint?
Yeah, so schools are a great customer to work with because they have such educational goals that they try to invest in renewable technologies and work with their students and teachers on renewable energy projects. We've long worked with our school districts throughout northwestern Wisconsin. In fact, the state of Wisconsin has several programs that focuses on school districts and renewable energy and conservation. And in fact, the Eau Claire School District, I believe just last week, became one of the first school districts in the state to have a carbon-free, carbon-neutral goal by 2050 as well.
Are you aware of other one that I can think of? I know that Stanley Boyd has commissioned energy reports, mm-hmm. and I understand that you've worked with them a little bit. Your organization.
So when we announced our Solar Connect Community program, Stanley Boyd was the first school district that signed up for Solar Connect Community. Interesting program, that Solar Connect Community. We announced it in 2015. It was a pilot project to have those 3 1-megawatt community gardens scattered throughout northwestern Wisconsin. That program's fully subscribed just a few years later, and Stanley Boyd was one of the first school districts that signed up for that program.
I know the Osceola District also did a solar thermal project for their swimming pool through Focus on Energy incentives, and they also worked with Xcel on efficiency. Do you have some background on that program at all?
Not that specific program. What I would tell you is that we have a team of individuals throughout Xcel Energy. We've got account managers that work with our largest energy users who are always looking at ways to save on their energy bill and implementing very innovative conservation projects throughout their operations. We've also got a team of mid-market energy efficiency representatives who work with those small to medium-sized businesses, and those tend to be sole proprietorships or limited liability companies that don't often have the same resources as a large business to invest in energy conservation. So we work with those customers to try to help them save on their energy bills, take advantage of the Focus on Energy programs, and also get rebates back from our company for those investments that they do make.
Kate Beaton, how much have the lobbying efforts of the Wisconsin Conservation voters targeted school boards?
That's a new area that we're starting to get into. I actually had a part in working with the school board president to here in Eau Claire, mm-hmm. To make a move towards 100% clean energy goal. I've also been working with a couple of school board members in Menominee as well. And so I'm really glad that Brian mentioned that the school board made this commitment just last week. It was extremely exciting because that actually made Eau Claire the first community in Wisconsin to have official commitments on all three levels of our local government, our school board, county board, and city council. And so, the Chippewa Valley is really leading the state in these clean energy goals. And I should mention, too, that on November 4th, the school board is going to be having a vote on a solar on schools project that would put 100 kilowatts of solar projects on each of the high schools. And so they're really wasting no time to start going after those goals.
That's the voice of Kate Beaton. She is the Western organizer for Wisconsin Conservation Voters, also a member of the Eau Claire City Council. Also joining us, continuing through the hour, are Andrew Werthman, a member of the Eau Claire City Council, and Brian Elwood from Xcel Energy. Do you worry about climate change? Have you made changes in your lifestyle because of it? We still have time to bring you into the show at 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. I'm Dean Kallenbach on the West Side. This is the Ideas Network. We're back talking about renewable energy and commitments by local government to become carbon neutral by 2050. City of Eau Claire has done it, and there are efforts underway, including an event this evening or this afternoon for the city of Menominee, trying to encourage those members of that city council and the mayor to stand behind such a pledge. In August, Governor Tony Evers declared that Wisconsin would be carbon neutral by 2050. And while I'm sure that the Wisconsin Conservation voters were thrilled at that, do you worry, Kate Beaton, that the polarized nature of our statewide politics might actually create some defined opposition?
Yeah, we were really excited to see Governor Evers make this commitment. He also, in August, at the same time, created the Office of Sustainability and Clean Energy to start to look at how the state government can start to tackle that issue and start to work on that long-term goal. You know, and since then, actually, Governor Evers has also created the Climate Change Task Force in October that is being served by people from across Wisconsin to look at how we can achieve that goal as well. You know, we've seen the administration do a lot around climate change and clean energy. Unfortunately, we've been disappointed to see the legislature lag behind. We absolutely are going to need them as well to step up and start taking climate change seriously and start taking our clean futures more seriously. We all know that our state government is polarized, but real people here in Wisconsin, real people across our country are concerned about climate change. And, you know, even if they're not concerned about climate change, they want to be saving money on clean energy. They want to have the opportunity to walk down the street and breathe clean air and ensure that they have clean water. They want to forward the clean energy movement because it is financially smart and because it protects our national security. And so, you know, we need to see Wisconsin legislators catch up to that. And Wisconsin Conservation Voters, we are a nonpartisan nonprofit, and we're working with Democrats and Republicans in the legislature to communicate what we're hearing on the ground so that they hear those messages too.
Are you getting bipartisan positive feedback?
The short answer is yes. We work with Republicans and Democrats in the legislature on issues of clean energy, on clean water. I will say that we have more participation from one party, unfortunately, and that's something that we're looking to change. We can't do this with one party. We need both parties to be on board. So that's a major goal of ours, is to depolarize climate change and clean energy.
Well, human contribution to climate change is still a politically charged issue. Andrew Werthmann, was climate change a key reason that you were in favor, as a member of the Eau Claire City Council, in favor of the carbon neutrality by 2050 measure that you passed?
You know, I think that's a huge part of it. But then, I keep coming back to this idea of our residents here in Eau Claire talking about the resiliency of our community. And really what that means is making sure that we're prepared no matter how energy changes or moves forward, that that there's a reliability and that there's a cost savings. And I think those are the kind of key indicators. In one of my former roles, I actually worked for a national nonprofit on some of the issues of clean energy. And we worked in a bipartisan manner as many Republicans as we did Democrats, more specifically around the issue of energy efficiency in industrial processes. And so that's something where, you know, our country puts up enough heat power that would, if captured, be able to power the entire country of Japan. And there's technology that actually exists, combined heat and power and waste heat to power recovery, that actually exists right now, and it's even being used in our community, that would help huge manufacturers actually be able to reduce their energy use. Those are the kind of things where we've seen a lot of bipartisan support. And I think, even looking at the climate caucus in Congress and the bipartisan support that exists in Congress, it gives me a lot of hope that there is actually more political will. Now, you know, our language may need to be a little bit different, but the idea of trying to integrate more clean energy into our portfolio as a country is actually something I think is a lot more bipartisan than many folks probably understand.
Brian Elwood, XL Energy, probably has little interest in being out front on a hot-button political issue. Does its stance to be carbon neutral by 2050 put it on the front lines of the climate change debate?
Yeah, I think it does, and I think we've shown that leadership is important on this issue. Certainly, if climate change is the issue, we believe carbon reduction has to be the goal, and that's why we're working very closely with our customers and communities on that. So, you know, we took a leadership position back in December of 2018 when we became the first utility in the country to announce that 2050 aspirational goal to provide 100% carbon-free electricity by 2050. So certainly that's important for us. It's been important for our communities. And we've seen a lot of other utilities come on board since we've made that announcement as well. So I think being in that leadership position has been important for us. And it's been also important for our communities to see those actions that we're taking as a company to proactively get to that goal.
800-228-5615 is your number. Still time to join the conversation if you'd like. Did get a call from Rob who couldn't stay on the line. Rob from Barron County says he's a solar customer. He encourages people to buy into renewables. Besides the initial investment, it pays off. It's already here. You might as well buy into it. That's from Rob in Barron County. Let's shift to we've talked a lot about powering buildings, but it's come up a couple of times. I don't want to turn to transportation. Transportation accounts for more carbon emissions than anything else, really. Brian Elwood, Xcel's not in the business of powering vehicles now, but is that in the utility's future?
Yeah, in fact, we are in the business of powering vehicles because we're seeing more and more electric vehicles on the road, and those vehicles need to get their energy from someplace, and they're connecting to the grid, they're connecting to Xcel Energy, they're connecting to other utilities. So as we decarbonize the grid and decarbonize the power sector, the electricity that those automobiles use will be less carbon emitting as well. So it's important for us to work with our customers and communities on electric vehicle programs. It's a huge growing part of what we see carbon reductions coming in the future. We have a number of communities, including right here in Eau Claire, that are taking very proactive or putting proactive plans in place when it comes to electric vehicles. In fact, the community of Eau Claire is developing an electric vehicle community roadmap to site charging stations, look at other electric vehicle operations to make it more accessible to communities and customers in the area.
Andrew Werthman, the city of Eau Claire has a fleet of vehicles ranging from public transportation to trucks for street crews. How much of the sustainability plan that you're working on have in place focuses on transportation?
Well, that's a part of our goal. And I think, you know, this is one of the areas where the technology is going to, you know, hopefully catch up. But I think the idea of electrifying is something that we're also focused on in this plan. And I just want to make sure to give a shout out to the work of Xcel Energy. I don't know if listeners maybe understand just sort of the leadership that they've taken, I would say, not only locally but nationally on these issues to try to help us figure out how we get to our clean energy goals and net neutrality goals. I think Xcel Energy is really hopefully a role model that other utilities around the country can actually look to, and people need to be sort of cognizant of the great work they're doing. So our plans do call for carbon net neutrality, and that includes our fleet. We have hundreds of vehicles in our city fleet, and we're going to have to work on transitioning those over the next 10, 20, and 30 years.
And regarding the charging station idea that was mentioned by Brian Elwood, Kate Beaton, is that something that you would anticipate that government would be involved in, or is that placement of charging stations for vehicles, is there room in the private sector for some growth in that area?
Yeah, absolutely. The answer to both those questions would be yes. We're actually looking right now into where are the smartest locations to be investing in charging stations in our public parking areas, on our parking ramps. I should add to Andrew's comments that we're looking at electrifying our fleet, our police vehicles, our snow plows eventually, and city buses. But we're also our goal also includes electrifying every car in Wisconsin, in the city of Eau Claire. And so that means investing in charging stations and making it easier for people to own an electric car. It also means energy conservation when it comes to transportation and investing in infrastructure that makes it easier for people not to use their car, which is obviously good for our carbon goals, but also good for our community. Health.
Yeah, and Kate's got a great point. You know, public charging is really important, but what we're seeing too is about 80 to 85% of the charging takes place at the home. So typically these are short duration drives. Customers come home at night, can plug in their vehicles, and are ready to go the next day. So we want to make it easy for customers who want to invest in electric vehicles, make it easy to charge at home. So we're looking at new programs and options for customers to be able to do that, because truly the most charging, most efficient charging is the charging that will take place at home.
Kate Beaton, you talked about the desire to have all the cars in the city be electric. That obviously, beyond just making charging stations available, that's a heavy educational lift.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a big part of achieving that goal is putting faith in the private sector to continue to create technology that makes electric cars cheaper and more enticing for the public to purchase. We have no intention of forcing anybody to buy a certain kind of car, and we have no intention in having some impact on how the auto industry is continuing their progress. But our responsibility is to make it easier for people to make those smart choices around electric vehicles. And that's something that we're doing right now.
I'm curious, though, are you working with or having conversations with dealers in the area? There are companies that exclusively make electric cars, but you can't buy one in Eau Claire, for instance. What efforts, is that something that's within the context of your organization, or is that kind of outside of it?
Yeah. To wear my city council hat right now, not the Wisconsin Conservation Voters hat. I think that we have auto dealers involved in our clean energy action planning process. And so the answer is yes, we are talking to auto dealers now. I think that is an area that we could be improving, though, that collaboration. So,
and Andrew Werthmann, jump in on this because, I would think that for such a heavy goal, I mean, we're talking about a plan to be carbon neutral by 2050. Got to be a lot of partnerships. I mean, this can't just be driven by, a few members of the city council. This has to have a lot of players.
Yeah, and our clean energy action plan, XL Energy is helping to lead, is really trying to bring together all of those different leaders in our community from, whether it's automobile to our business and our manufacturing communities, as well as even faith communities that see the importance of these changes. So I agree. I think, bringing those partnerships together is going to be the key to helping us move forward on this issue.
And if I could add, you mentioned, it's going to take many partnerships across our city. And I think that we're seeing that happen. And I think that we're going to continue to see that happen. We actually did a survey in 2017. The city did a survey that showed that nearly 80% of Eau Claire supports the city working with our utility to pursue community-wide renewable energy goals. And so that's a widely supported goal that we're setting. And I think that we'll see our community step up to join us in a partnership to achieve those.
Eau Claire is a pretty blue city. I mean, if you look at voting records, heavily Democratic compared to the surrounding areas, is that kind of the tell as you're working with these communities? Are those the first folks to jump in on this carbon neutral by 2050 effort?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the voting records, Eau Claire is a blue city, but we're not 80% blue. There are not 80% of, people in Eau Claire are Democrats here in Eau Claire. And so this is something that is supported by people who subscribe to both parties. And I should add, too, that, this was a goal that was set by the county, which is far less blue than the city. It's also a goal that other much more conservative communities are looking at, including communities like Waukesha and Fond du Lac in southeastern Wisconsin.
Wisconsin Conservation Voters and the League of Women Voters are teaming up on an event this afternoon in Menominee with the express purpose of trying to convince the city council and mayor there to implement such a carbon neutral by 2050 pledge. Can you talk a little bit about that event and what it's about, Kate Beaton?
Yeah. One in five Americans right now are represented by communities that have made local clean energy goals. And we at Wisconsin Conservation Voters want to see communities across Wisconsin continue to make these goals and continue to join this movement to do our part locally, both to really change over our clean energy usage in real time, but also send a message to our utilities and the legislature. And so we're going to be hosting an event. We're going to be hearing from Dr. Jim Bolter, a climate scientist from UWEC, about climate change. We're also going to talk about what we've done in Eau Claire and why we're asking the city of Menominee to do the same thing. We want to see, the Chippewa Valley continue to be a leader in the state from Eau Claire to Menominee and Dunn County and beyond.
That's the voice of Kate Beaton. She's the Western organizer for the Wisconsin Conservation Voters and an Eau Claire City Council member. Thank you for joining us, Kate.
Thank you.
Brian Elwood has also been with us, General Manager of Community Service for XL Energy. Thank you, Brian Elwood.
Thank you, Dean.
And also Andrew Werthmann, City Council member for Eau Claire. Andrew Werthmann, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
We heard earlier in the program from Erin Monroe Nye. She is the Program Director for Focus on Energy. Thanks to Catherine Thomas for producing this show and to Kate Spranger for publicity. Next week, we talk about health care in western Wisconsin, ranging from access by low-income individuals to those who live in rural areas to the health of hospitals. That's a week from today on this program. I'm Dean Kallenbach. Thanks for joining us. You've been listening to The West Side on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.